member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
Welcome to Kinky Sex Radio.
Good evening, Kinksters. It's Wednesday, hump day. That means Kinky Sex Radio is on the air, podcasting from our beautiful studios in Rogers Park, Chicago. Quite possibly the most beautiful neighborhood I've personally ever lived in. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Professor Tom, and with me as always,
Miss Gypsy.
Miss Gypsy and I are very happy to be with you this week, and we want to start off right off the bat by telling you a little bit about our free contest of the month. We love giving you stuff, and I'm going to let you explain it. Tell the people.
Sure thing. Our giveaway this month is a book. It's called The Bondage of Destiny. It's by Glengarry McLeod, and it's a fiction thriller.
You want to listen to this. Once upon a time in the age of now, there lived a wealthy young woman named Marlene. She was bright, attractive, highly educated sort who was at the crossroads of her life. It seemed that abducting, torturing, and killing men didn't give her the pleasure that it once did. Meanwhile, there was a brilliant young man of God named Marcus, who was born with tremendous power. He wants to do God's will, but his contempt for humanity has sunk to new depths of misanthropy. Misanthropy, is that word? Misanthropy. This is sounding like total talk nonsense already. He, too, was at a crossroads. It was at this point in the tiny town of Thompson, Georgia, that something miraculous happened for these two special individuals. They fell in love.
Aww.
It's a psycho love story. I'm only about 147 pages into it. So I'll have to tell you what happens. So far, they're just setting up the characters. Tell them how they win it, though. It's for them. It's free.
In case you're asking yourself how you get your hands on this book, what you have to do is answer two questions for us. First one is, how do you get our podcast? Do you download it from Podcast Alley, from iTunes? The other question we want from you is, what are you doing when you listen to our podcast? Are you working out? Are you walking? Are you on your way to work? Send those answers to the questions at kinky@kinkysexradio.com. We'll be in the running for getting the book this month.
Yeah, we put your name into a drawing, just random, so if you answer the two questions, you don't have to be creative, just literally, hey, I used it at the gym and I got it from iTunes. That's fine. Maverick's most common answer so far. We've already gotten some responses from last week. It seems that iTunes is the 500-pound gorilla of podcasting. Put it in an email, send it to us, kinkysexradio.com, and we'll enter you to win this very, very large
What was that
book.
Email address, Tom?
KinkySexRadio.com. I get tired of saying it, you know? It's like KinkySexRadio.com, KinkySexRadio.com, the forums at KinkySexRadio.com. It's KinkySexRadio.com. Now I've said it clearly. Everything you need.
There
you know
go.
All that crap.
It's kinky.
So, Gypsy, was that your first time making semen?
I have to say, I've never made semen before.
You know, I do it all the time. Not a big deal.
I've helped someone make their own semen, but never made it from household kitchen ingredients.
Right now, there are thousands of people going, what the hell is this podcast talking about? We made semen. If you remember a couple of your first episode, we had a letter from someone whose girlfriend wanted to do a mock bukkake scene. There's a fun phrase, mock bukkake. That's nice. It's a good name for a band. Ladies and gentlemen, mock bukkake! So didn't want to invite 20 guys into the house to do the scene. That's a little awkward for a new relationship. Wanted to fake it. So how do you make fake semen? Well, Non Sequitur Menagerie on our forums is a genius. This woman posted, and if you go to our forums and look at podcast number 11, which was Gypsy's first one, it says a new host in the title, you will see she gave us about 4 or 5 recipes for semen. We did 2 of them. One of them is a roux, and you didn't know what this was.
No, it's apparently a southern thing.
It's a Cajun thing. Anytime you're making Cajun cooking, you start with a roux. And there's actually a cookbook called First You Make a Roux, because every recipe starts with First You Make a Roux. A roux is flour and water. So we put 250 milliliters of water. Apparently, non sequitur menageries, Canadian or English, they use milliliters. 250 milliliters of water and 2 flat tablespoons of flour. You heat it to a boil, just barely, a slow rolling boil. Then you leave it on medium heat and you simmer it 3-4 minutes. Now, it'll start to turn a little brown. That's when it starts to become a roux. What you want to do is the minute you see a color change, pour it off into a bowl because it'll keep cooking in the pan. That's the problem with flour. Once it starts to cook, it continues to cook. Now you'll have something that's fairly thick. Leave it a few minutes. It's glue. Remember in kindergarten you made glue, flour and water? Same thing. It looks remarkably like semen.
It's probably the closest thing to semen that I've ever seen.
Well, no, it's not. Semen's the closest thing to semen.
If you want to get technical, Tom.
I do. No, it's awesome. It looked good for a movie. Now, it doesn't smell like or taste like semen. Yes,
we've both tasted it, and it doesn't really taste like semen.
Tastes like flour.
Right.
Smells like flour, too. Yes. Smells exactly like what it is. The other one we made is one egg white, about a cup and a half of condensed milk, and a little bit of sugar, and mixed together. And it looks, it's not quite thick enough. Maybe you need to let it set a little bit, maybe some cornstarch or something. And egg white, so I guess you could... But that you're risking salmonella now.
Right. That was my worry with it, was the raw egg white. You know, you wouldn't want to ingest that in any way.
You can't. I mean, you know, it's a risk like eating a mollusk, like eating oysters. Right. So, I mean, you can drink, you saw in Rocky, drinking raw eggs. I mean,
but if it's 20 men worth of raw
it sit for 2 hours, then eat it. Absolutely not. I would use it, I guess, if you're making a movie or something and wanted to put it on their feet or their back or, you know, nowhere near the mouth, the ears, the nose, etc. Yeah, but the flower semen was a hit.
Yeah, it was very, very realistic. The texture, just the way it would drip off of the surfaces, it was pretty realistic semen.
Now, so if you want to stage a bukkake scene and the smell and the taste is not important, but the look is, I guess for amateur porno or for a frat party.
Or for the heck of it. Hey, let's squirt people with semen while walking down the road.
Oh, you know the coolest thing, though, is that according to Non Sequitur Menagerie, it's a hair lotion. That's the recipe, is that you make that, you put it on your hair, and you can add food coloring to it and make a semi-permanent dye. So putting it on your hair is actually good for your hair.
So two purposes in one.
Kinky Sex Radio.
It's a spanking for your ears.
One of the most common fetishes in the world is the foot fetish. At least that's what we're led to believe from studies on fetish. That a foot fetish is very common. And I think what's kind of interesting is that there is now coming to light some serious studies done on fetish in general, and not just on branding us as perverts who have a fetish, but rather looking at why. And this I got from Wikipedia, though I've seen the actual papers from this neurologist before. Under Wikipedia, you find proposed explanations of foot fetishism. One explanation, advanced by neurologist Professor Daniel Griffiths, highlights the fact that the feet and the genitals occupy adjacent areas of the sensory cortex, that's in the brain, possibly entailing some neural crosstalk between the two. So, because the area your feet are talking to in the brain and the area your genitals are talking to in the brain are right next to each other, they theorize there might be some cross-chatter between the two of them. And that's why we develop, then, this fetish of the foot. Now... it's science. It means it's being studied at the moment. Have you heard this? Is this news?
No, I've actually never heard about these studies.
There's another theory that because the feet produce pheromones, see the armpits, the genitals, and the feet produce pheromones, that's why. See, that would explain more why you would develop a foot fetish.
Right.
See, if it's crosstalk, you would enjoy having your feet licked, caressed, sucked, whatever, and you would enjoy foot worship. You develop a fetish for receiving.
And
right?
I've developed a fetish for foot worship myself. But it's a symbol of submission for me. I like to kiss the feet and lick the feet and nuzzle the feet and lay at the feet and give pedicures to the feet. Okay, so maybe it's a little bit more than just foot worship. Maybe it is a little bit of a fetish for
me. It sounds like you at least have, but it sounds like your fetish, and this is the thing with fetishes, sometimes they're rooted in different causes,
right,
so they
right.
sound like, to the person explaining it, a very different fetish. But the symptoms you just described are classic. You know, the same guy who walks into a shoe store and gets excited handling women's shoes would probably sound similar in describing his fetish, though his motivation, yours says, comes from submission. So I guess you're kind of taking a different route through the woods to grandma's house, to foot fetish town. You ever been to foot fetish town, baby? It's a lovely, lovely
place.
It's
right next to Chocolate Cake City.
Right next to Chocolate Cake City, USA, baby. Over by Funky Town. But I mean, you know, you take different journeys on the path to the same basic area. I guess the psychology is being tripped off. But you said that it's a submissive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing this, is it someone you're intimate with, or do you do it in play? How casual are you with your version of a foot fetish?
It's not very casual with me. It's generally someone that I'm feeling submissive to, which I can bottom to a lot of different people, but to feel genuinely submissive to someone is rare. So the foot worship, you know, goes along with that.
And so you don't have, I guess, the classic foot fetish, at least in the vanilla world's mind, is the one I described. A guy walking into a shoe store,
right,
or seeing stockinged feet or buying pictures of women's feet online. So I think it's an interesting idea that this, what we presumed was a purely psychological derivation, may actually have in it rooted biology. It may be based on scientific inevitability that because they're right next to each other, of course we're going to fetishize or totemize, I think is the term. We're going to totemize this part of the body. And because there's pheromones being excreted. Now, how much pheromones actually affect human beings is a whole other debate. Pheromones are released from the genitals. That's why you have pubic hair still. Not much of you have furry. That area is to hold the pheromones in. However, here's the question. How much do pheromones actually affect the human brain? The science is still kind of trying to fit. That's why those perfumes they sell for $50 are crap.
I definitely have my own opinions on pheromones. I've actually ended relationships because I could not agree with someone's natural scent.
Kinky Sex Radio.
Spank me.
I want to mention, we mentioned last week, the Pod Riot. I need a favor. We have about 3,000 people who download our show per week. Now, whether they listen to it or not, I have no idea, but they're downloading it at least. And about 1,000 regular subscribers, and we love you all. Here's what I'm getting at. The Pod Riot Network is brand new, and so we need you to vote for it. It's the easiest thing in the world, I swear to God. You go to podriot.com. That's our network. We've started with Total Talk Nonsense and Punky, blah, blah, blah. You scroll down a little bit, you'll see a vote for us bit. Put your email in that box, click send. They do not spam you. This is Podcast Alley. I've been voting for some of my favorite podcasts on there for over 5 months now. They haven't even sent me an email. They send you an email to confirm. You click the link, you're done. You voted for Pod Riot. Why is it important? Well, we're about halfway to top 10. Podcast Alley is one of the top 13,000 websites in the world. Huge amounts of traffic, huge amounts of press attention. And one thing we could use is a little traffic, a little press attention with a new network. You'd be doing us a tremendous favor. We will give you the show for free. We will give you the format, the forums for free. I will come to your house and bathe your baby. Just vote for Pod Riot, damn it. That's kind of creepy, me bathing. You don't want the guy from the Kinky Show bathing your baby.
But if they don't have a baby, what would you bathe?
Oh, their dog.
Their dog?
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on if they're my type or not.
It's kinky.
Well, Gypsy, we got a question from one of our listeners. Which, incidentally, if you're one of our listeners and you have a question, that's kind of what we do here. We take your questions and answer them as best we can. This question starts, "Hey, guys." It's a good start. "Hey, guys. I was just listening to one of the older podcasts," which is also a good idea, "the one on spanking. It seems to go into great detail and such. I was hoping you might be able to go into the topic of flogging. I'm curious as to what techniques work best. What does one look for when buying a flogger? What are the sweet spots and safety tips? I'm a beginner to this, and my partner is very interested in the idea of flogging. Hope you can shed some light on the topic. Thanks. Leather Moose." So I guess the question here is, flogging 101, flogging for the beginner.
Well, the first thing you want to look for is what type of materials your flogger is made out of, because that's going to result in what sensations the flogger is going to give. You can get anything from deer hide to kangaroo hide to cow hide, and the different materials are going to result in common terms, thuddy or stingy. And you might want to discuss with your bottom or submissive what kind of sensations they're looking for out of the flogging. I prefer thuddy myself, and the floggers that tend to give a more thuddy sensation have more tails, which is what the strands of the flogger are. Deerhide and cowhide are really, really good for a thuddy impact, and rubber and knotted floggers are really good for a stingy impact. And as far as the safety goes, it's kind of common sense. You want to stay away from the spine and most of the joints. The sweet spots, as our listener called them, would be the fleshy areas, the buttocks, the back of the thighs, the front of the thighs. And I've seen people that are beginning with flogging practicing with pillows. They flog the pillow just so they can get their aim down. So it's important to know where, or an estimated area where the tails are going to land, because you want to stay away from the spine and any sensitive, you know, areas on the backside.
Kinky Sex Radio.
It's a spanking for your ears.
We have a rather long email from one of our listeners. It's kind of nice because we like to get your feedback. As much as we can talk about our experiences in the kink and BDSM world, it's nice to hear from your experiences. And last week we mentioned that we wanted to talk about a few topics for people to call in. And a listener who was unable to get Skype was kind enough to send an email about self-bondage. So I'm just going to read it. Hello. Listening to your podcast last week, you asked for information on self-bondage, so I thought I'd drop you an email about my experiences. First off, my name is Paul, and I don't really know when I got into the whole bondage thing. As a kid, I liked to play cops and robbers, being both the cop and the robber at times. There was something really sexy about handcuffing a girl, even though at a young age, sexy isn't really the correct word. It was just neat. It was just as cool to be handcuffed by a girl and put in jail or etc. As I got older, most of the girls in the neighborhood really didn't want to run around with guns and handcuffs anymore, and as boys get older, they start to explore their own sexuality more as well. I think the first time I really thought about being tied up as a sexual experience may have been in 7th or 8th grade or so. 6 people live in my house, 3 generations, so finding time to try something like this is not easy. As I got older, my sister was involved in Girl Scouts, so she and my mother were out of the house for a specific period of time, and my father was at work, so I was at home with the grandparents, who wouldn't suspect anything anyway. I would go in for a shower and take my toy metal handcuffs with me and a few belts. I would bind myself up in different positions and try to get free. It was not really a sexual thing, as I really didn't know what masturbating was or why being tied up felt good. It was more like a game, especially once my hands were cuffed, because with the belts it was pretty easy to get free, but with the cuffs I had to get the key first, so it was really more of a game than anything else. Skipping ahead, as I got older, the games became more sexually pleasing. There still was no internet to look up anything on or a way to understand what I was doing. I used to think, this feels really good, but I must be a freak to enjoy this type of thing. I still like to use rope, but I like the way metal cuffs feel and sound as they click into place. I bought my first set of real handcuffs from a military supply store in Pittsburgh about 10 years or so ago, and while I was there at a convention. Since then, I've acquired 2 more pairs of handcuffs, 2 sets of leg cuffs, thumb cuffs, nipple clamps, and a ball gag. Part of me still enjoys the game of trying to escape, but it's more than that. When no one is at home, I enjoy walking around the house in the chains, being careful not to be seen through a window, and having a key on me in case of a surprise visitor. While I enjoy the self-bondage, and a few close friends I know like bondage, it's still something I don't talk about very much. I grew up in a very Catholic area. Sex wasn't even talked about until a much later age, and even then only discriminatorily. It's an interesting word. Even only discriminatorily. If I even asked my parents, I would have been sent to confession for a week. Not exactly the open culture to discuss the types of things I was interested in. When I got to college, after I really got to know people, I found out that one of my friends was also into bondage. Finally, I had someone to talk to that I could relate to, and could relate to what I was feeling. I also had a few friends with benefits that would let me cuff them and tie them up. I think I rambled away from the topic, but hope you can use some of this on your podcast. Please contact me if there's anything else I can answer for you. Thanks, Paul. And Paul, I gotta say, that is an amazing email. It gives us a real insight into the beginnings of self-bondage. So let me ask you, have you ever done any self-bondage at all? I've never have. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of experience with self-bondage. It's mainly as a comforting practice for me. I when in a relationship, if I can't be with my partner at the time, they've had me bind my ankles in a hobble where I bind each ankle and have a length of rope in between the two of them. And I do it when I can't be with them for the night or for an extended period of time. And it's sort of like a security blanket for me.
So you said they had you do that. It was a command from a dominant, or is it something you've done yourself, like as a security blanket, teddy bear, you know, comforting thing?
I've done a little bit of both. It's, you know, been a command from a dominant and just as a security thing for me.
Very nice. I've never done any kind of self-bondage, which is why I'm so glad that Paul sent in this email, because I think it's really nice when we can get other people's opinion on our show. It makes it really open. And if you've got an opinion you want to send to the show, just put it in an email. There's no right or wrong. Feel free. Let me know, however, what name you want to be on the air. So I don't use your real name. You can make up a name, or I'll just say you're nameless. And if you don't want to be on the air, let me know, and I'll just respond in the email.
Kinky Sex Radio.
Spank me.
Have you answered a JW question yet?
No, I don't think I have.
JW, if you don't know, if you listen to some of our older shows, has been a very important part of Kinky Sex Radio. He probably one of the first listeners we had. Met him through, I think, a MySpace page that we started. A very intelligent guy who always sends us a ton of topics, a ton of questions. You'll see him posting in the forums. Here, so here's your first official JW question. He'd like to hear our thoughts on art, and specifically if sex can be portrayed in an artistic manner, like in photography. See, JW's a photographer. I know that. That's why. Or if all depictions of sex are pornography, period. So there's the question. I'll start. Let's go with your opinion. Do you think you can take pictures of people in flagrante delicto and have it be art?
I believe it can. I think you can have photographs that are not overtly pornographic and be tastefully done. I think it's dependent upon, you know, the posing and the lighting and, you know, color versus black and white. I definitely think that it can be done tastefully so that it's art and not just flat out pornography. And it seems that the media isn't able to distinguish that, and it's, you know, going on with the 257 regulations.
Well, to be fair, the Supreme Court has, I mean, where do you draw the line?
Right.
The Supreme Court has used community standard, which is part of the 10th Amendment. You say, look, in Kentucky, what's illegal will be different from what's illegal in downtown New York, because there are very different people in rural Kentucky as opposed to downtown New York, which I believe in. I'm a states' rights advocate and all that, so I mean, it's interpretation of the Constitution. The other thing they said is that if its sole purpose is titillation, then it's pornography. Not necessarily illegal, but pornography. Whereas if there is some artistic merit, and that's what you have to look at, is the totality of the work. They had the same thing with violence in video games. They said, look, you can't just look at the fact that this guy is shooting someone in the face in a movie or a video game. You have to look at, is it making a statement? Is it saying something? Because sometimes our most offensive art is also bearing the most important message of a culture. So it's not just the media that has difficulty separating it and us. You know, where do you draw the line? You know, one girl naked, beautiful lighting, black and white, art. Two girls naked, black and white, nice lighting, art. Two girls and a donkey, we've crossed a line. Three guys, a donkey, a chipmunk, a squirrel, a beating, fake blood, fake poo, you know.
Fake semen.
Right, exactly. Which we're now considered chefs, I think, because we made fake semen. Where do you draw that line? How do you do that? It's very, very difficult. And the problem is, when you talk about this regulation, once you stop just saying that's art, that's porno, because that's no big deal. Okay, it's porno. Fine. Who cares? Once you say porno's illegal, now you've got a slippery slope. The new format was a hit.
People did seem to like it.
Everybody, well, 99% of the people, a lot of people just didn't. They're like, whatever, it didn't matter. You know,
well,
like, it's cool,
I had fun
whatever.
Doing it.
Yeah, I thought it's a lot more work in post, which means some of the episodes may come out late, like 5, 6 p.m. on Wednesday instead of the night before on Tuesday late, because it takes me a while longer in post to produce it. But I dig it, and it's fun to do. And with that, we bring another episode of Kinky Sex Radio to a close. We want to thank you so much for downloading this podcast. We want to remind you to go to podriot.com and give us a vote.
And if you have any questions or comments or topics for the show, you can email us at kinky@kinkysexradio.com. And as always, this is Miss Gypsy and
Professor Tom. Have a good night.